Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we're still in Genesis. Take a look as a new story thread gets interwoven. We started out the previous chapter looking at Joseph. He ends up being sold as a slave down in Egypt. And now in chapter 38, we're saying, well, what about Joseph? We'll come back to him. Genesis chapter 38. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There, Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and lay with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Ur. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kazib that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Lie with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, so whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so he put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up." For he thought, "He may die too, just like his brothers." So Tamar went to live in her father's house. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. And when Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep. And his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she thought, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, "Come now, let me sleep with you." "And what will you give me to sleep with you?" she asked. "I'll send you a young goat from my flock," he said. "Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it?" she asked. He said, "What pledge should I give you?" "Your seal and its cord and the staff in your hand," she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. After she left, she took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite in order to get his pledge back from the woman, but he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there, "Where is the shrine prostitute who was beside the road at Enaim?" "There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here," they said. So he went back to Judah and said, "I didn't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her keep what she has or we'll become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant. Judah said, bring her out and have her burned to death. As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. I'm pregnant by the man who owns these, she said. And she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son, Shelah. And he did not sleep with her again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on the wrist and said, this one came out first. But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out. And she said, so this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out, and he was given the name Zerah. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
There's an expression, TMI. Okay. Times when people tell us things that we'd just as soon not have heard. And for many people, this chapter is one of those times. It's like TMI. I really don't want to know about all the details there. But God wants us to know about these details. God wants us to understand what was going on. And God wants us to understand how he works through wretched people in order to accomplish his gracious purpose of salvation. Now, in this chapter, a lot of time passes, okay? Because he goes down and he gets married. He met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua, and he married her and lay with her, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Well, they end up having three children, and the children, the older two, become adults and are marrying age, and the first one to get married marries this woman named Tamar. So decades have passed, but this is a very important story. This son, was so wicked. I mean, now think about the fact that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But this guy, God decided needed his wrath right then. He was so wicked that God took him. God killed him. So now Tamar is a widow. Judah's oldest son is dead. And the oldest son got double the inheritance of the others. This was the one who would carry on the line. This is the one who was the promise of the future. He's gone. So the custom was that if your brother dies, the brother-in-law to this woman would raise up children for the one who died. And of course, they are going to get that double portion, that inheritance that would have gone to the firstborn, because it's his line that's going on. And they're very concerned about keeping those lines as they should be. So Ur dies, Tamar comes and says, I'm so sorry, but your son has died. My husband has died. And he says, okay, Onan, you know what you've got to do. It's Onan's job. It's not about, oh, but Dad, I don't love her. That has nothing to do with it. It's Onan's job, for the sake of his brother and the family line, to go and have relations with the widow so that she can conceive and carry on the brother's line. That's the deal. He knows the child will not be mine, it'll be hers, and he doesn't like that plan. So he goes in, he has sexual relations with Tamar, but he practices a primitive and selfish form of birth control so that she never gets pregnant. He deliberately robs her of the only reason that he's supposed to be intimate with her. Okay? So he's using her selfishly, and God says, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. So God kills him. Tamar has to go back and say, I'm so sorry, but son number two has also died. Judah's got to be wondering what is going on in that tent. So he says, listen, why don't you go back and live with your dad for a while as a widow? And when my third son is older, he can come and fulfill his responsibilities to you. But clearly, he's not planning on doing that. He's just trying to delay because it's like, I'm afraid he's going to end up like the first two. That's what it says. That was what was in his mind when he told her, let's just wait until he's older. Well, she waits. But after a long time, Judah's wife dies, and Judah goes through a mourning period for her, and then he goes on a business trip. He went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira the Adullamite went with him. And Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she had a plan, and the plan involved deception. Kind of an ongoing theme, isn't it? She took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she thought that though Shelah had now grown up, she'd not been given to him as his wife. Judah, who's a widower, he's been through the grieving process, and now he's lonely and single and vulnerable to temptation. He sees what he believes to be a prostitute, not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law. He went over to her by the roadside and said, come now, let me sleep with you. He figured that's why she was there. And what will you give me to sleep with you? She asked. I'll send you a young goat from my flock, he said. She says, but you don't have one with you, do you? Well, no, I don't. So I need something in pledge. What do you want in pledge? How about your seal and your staff? Now, the seal was like a signet ring. The cord that it was on is because instead of wearing it on your hand, you wore it around your neck. But the idea is, with that, you can seal a document showing that you authorized this, you did this. This is something that is so closely identified with you, nobody else has one exactly like this. And so the staff, well, I mean, the staff was not just used to, you know, stand there and look sporting. It was actually a very useful tool used in walking, hiking, climbing, hitting an animal that's attacking. I mean, the staff is good for a lot of things, and you wouldn't just give that away. So she knew that these things were going to be valuable to him, but he thought, It's just temporary. And apparently, he was really eager at this point to have sex with her. So he said, okay, stupid thing. But you know what? It's even more stupid that he's wanting to have sex with somebody he's not married to. So he gives her his seal and the cord and his staff, and he has sex with her, and she becomes pregnant. And he goes on his way, and she goes on her way back to her daddy, where she changes back into her widow's clothes. But meanwhile, something is growing inside of her. And after 3 months, it begins to show. What's the deal? You're a widow. What are you doing? I'm pregnant. How's that possible? She must have been immoral. Well, this cannot be tolerated. Immorality is not okay. And if she's played the prostitute, the penalty for that is not just death, it's death by burning. Okay? Bring her out, burn her alive. As she's being brought out, she sends a message to her father-in-law. Because it's the father-in-law whose family is disgraced. He's the head of this thing. And he's the one who's ordered her execution. And she says, tell him that this is the seal and cord and staff of the father of my child. Well, for sure, Judah would recognize him, but I wouldn't be surprised if everybody else who was assigned to bring them to him recognized them too. Okay? So when they bring him this thing and have the awkward responsibility of saying to him, she says that these belong to the father of the child she's carrying. She wants to know if you recognize them. Gulp. Yeah. I know whose those are. I love what he says. She is more righteous than I am. You see, in that moment, he doesn't just realize it was wrong of me to go and have sex with her. It was wrong of me not to keep my promise and send Sheila to raise up children for her. And he didn't say, well, you know, since we've been intimate, I guess she can come be my wife. No. He had no idea that that was his daughter-in-law that he was about to be immoral with when he stepped aside and encouraged her to go with him and have relations with him. But when he found out, he obviously didn't have her killed. And her sons were welcomed into the family and became his sons. And in fact, one of these twins, Perez, became the leader of the strongest clan within the tribe of Judah. These were Judah's sons, and they were treated as Judah's sons. But that didn't mean he was going to go back and have relations again with her as if it was okay, it's no big deal. It was a shameful thing. This is an incestuous relationship that resulted in the birth of twins. Now, when God looked at what Ur was doing, he said, I'm not going to tolerate that. He's not going to get to live. I don't know what he was doing. It doesn't say. He just says he was very wicked in the eyes of the Lord, and so God killed him. When God killed Onan, we know why. It's because of the selfish way he was using his sister-in-law, and failing to not only fulfill his responsibilities, but to keep his promise. But with Judah, not only did God allow him to live and allowed Tamar to live, but God, out of this sinful union, Perez becomes the ancestor of King David. King David. Can you believe that? Well, that's not all. King David is the ancestor of Jesus, the Messiah. So this sinful union is woven into God's plan of redemption in order to save us. Remember when we looked at Judah's birth and said that Judah, through whom Messiah would come, was the result of a union with a woman that his daddy did not want. But God was able to take a deceit and a sin and bring about good. Is God the author of sin? Never. I have to say that over and over again. But the reason I have to say it is so that you don't get sucked into that lie while contemplating the amazing fact that over and over and over and over, God not only saves sinners, but God weaves the details into the story of redemption. You and I could not go to heaven if it were not for the fact that Jesus was betrayed by Judas into the hands of corrupt Jewish officials who refused to believe God's word and what they knew was true, who then handed Jesus over to the Romans, and Pilate, who recognized this man has done nothing worthy of death, still delivered him up to death. But God does not author sin. He simply takes the wickedness of people who are thinking, I'm going to have my way. I'm going to do what I want. And God says, I can work with that. And accomplishes his purpose. Okay, so Pastor, let me be sure I get this now. So what you're saying is God just kind of watches to see what's going to happen and then kind of figures out how he can make something good out of that? No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that Jesus is the Lamb who was slain before the creation of the world. That God's plan includes the sinful choices of people. So people do have a choice. Oh, yeah. But we consistently make the wrong choice because we are by nature sinners and desperately in need of God's grace. And God in his mercy doesn't just forgive. He turns things for good. God is able to take your life, no matter what background you come from, no matter what your parents did, right or wrong, God's able to take your life, your story, and make it a story of redemption. God is able to bring healing and blessing, not only to you, but through you, so that you become a channel of his grace to others, so that your story is one that inspires and encourages and comforts people who are hurting. God is always, in every situation, at work for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Don't ever feel like you can't fit in God's story. You are a part of God's story. So surrender to him and enjoy his love for you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.